Yes, I say that probably every Sunday, every Wednesday, or what have you. It'd be bad to say I don't appreciate you, wouldn't I? I mean, you know, I guess maybe it sounds kind of cliche or something to say that, but I mentioned in the prayer room earlier, some mornings or some times are I guess, more exciting than others. Let's put it that way. I told them, and there's times I don't know that I've ever not been nervous to stand or anxious, but when the Lord really drives home the point that he wants to make to me, that imparts to me more confidence, what I want to give to you. So that's what I'm trying to say this morning. It's wonderful to be here. I'm excited about what the Lord has given. And I know in recent days, we always, I think, ask the Lord for help, or we should. But it just seems like in just day-to-day conversation with folks, there's just dealing with a lot of different things in life and asking for prayer, asking for help. And that's just kind of what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning, is the topic of help. I want to direct you to my help this morning. And I just pray that the Lord will make himself known to you, because that's the power of it. It's not the power of me. I would love to help you in any way that I could, but Brother Dell, I'm limited. My help can only go so far, but I'll try to give what I have to offer. But the Lord's help is everlasting. And it goes all the way down to the deepest soul. It goes down to the worst problem. It goes down to the lightest problem. But if you will, let's turn to Psalm chapter number 121. Psalm chapter number 121. As far as I know, I don't recall ever preaching from this chapter before. Maybe referencing some of the verse here. Verse number 2. And it's called a song of degrees. So, you know, we know psalms are songs, but this is a song or a psalm of degrees. And so that means it's going somewhere. Degrees can either rise or fall. We really want us to stay in context of what this is talking about here, where these people are traveling to. It's talking about the Israelites. Every year they would take a pilgrimage or a trip, a journey from wherever they lived, and they'd go back up to Jerusalem, and they'd go there to make their sacrifice, or they'd go there to worship every year. So they would have to travel wherever they lived at. They would travel back to Jerusalem to go there. Well, the thing about it is that was a long journey. It's not like what you and I see today. We think journeys, we think, or trips. I think we use the word trip probably more than journeys. Trips are quicker now in this day and time than they ever have been before. Flights are faster. Traveling in your vehicle is faster. We're, like I said before, we're getting flying cars, so that should be faster. If you remember old 421 going to Wilkesboro, and now you've got the new road, as they call it, boy, that's a lot faster. I remember when we used to travel, you'd get to the foot of Wilkes Mountain. I'm like, we still have that whole journey to go up. We're never going to get there. But thank the Lord for that turnout lane halfway up. If somebody's going too slow, you had about 15 feet that you could get by them about halfway up. But when you see this here, what they're talking about, it's a pilgrimage from where that they were coming from, and it was by foot or by donkey or by camel. It was not the way we travel today. Wasn't as fast. So to them, it was more of a journey than a trip. And what they were doing is they were coming from wherever it was that they were coming from. They had to travel up this hill, travel up this mountainside to get to Jerusalem. They wanted to get there to worship. And so as they were traveling there, their purpose or intent was pure. They were on the right path. They're heading the right direction. They were doing the right thing. Sometimes we want the Lord to help us on our path and let us guide him where we want to go and just kind of give him suggestions of what we want. And as we were teaching on Wednesday night and talking a lot about faith, faith isn't that we're just going to get what we want. Faith is that we're trusting in God that he will give us what we need. We're placing that faith and that trust in him, not in just trying to get what we want. But I believe that everybody here, I know I need help. In studying this out and preparing for this, it's helped me a whole lot. And I pray that it helps you. I pray that our minds be focused on the Lord the way that it should be. It's easy to fall into a trap of, I thought this in studying this past couple of weeks. I thought, well, you know, I always saw it kind of this way, but now I realize that was kind of shallow-minded. The Lord has kind of expanded some things in helping me. And I pray he does the same thing for you this morning. But as they would travel up this hillside, the journey got long, and they would start singing songs. This is one of the songs that they would sing. As they're traveling up the hillside to go to worship, it would be dusty. It would be rocky. I'm sure there was some stumbling. I'm sure there was some falling. When you read these things here, when you read this, it almost makes it sound like the Christian life would be an easy thing. As long as I follow God, I'll never have any troubles. That's kind of how it reads. If you just read it quickly and think about it, as long as I put God first and as long as I'm chasing after Him, everything is going to be easy. That's not the case. Have anybody here have any trials? It's okay to raise you. Anybody here? Are you a Christian? Are you saved? But have you still had trials? Well, that don't make sense, does it? What does that mean? You think Job had any trials? After we read this, or while we're reading this morning, think about him. Compare your life. Think about Job and some of the things he experienced. I was thinking about what would it be like for Job to read these 8 verses here. What would he say? What would he say? Well, he faced a lot of hardship in his life. He lost everything except for his life alone. He lost everything. Family, friends, his businesses, his work. He's a wealthy man, righteous man. He lost everything. Would you say his life is easy? Absolutely not. But what you have to do is you kind of have to step back and you have to look at the big picture. You know, you and I, we can stumble. We can have hardships along this life, but you have to go back and look at the whole big picture of what's being said here. You know, if we're chasing after God, that doesn't mean things are going to be easy. But He's the one, He's the author, the finisher of our faith. He's the one that says this is how long your race is. You know, you and I really can't define success. Thought about that. Thought about success a lot this week. And looking at this and thinking about faith, thinking about prayer, thinking about help. You know, we try to define success. We can look at people and say, that's a successful person. That's subjective. That's very subjective. Somebody might make a good lump of money and say, boy, I'm successful this week. And somebody that's much more rich would say, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what I have. But you know, when you look at our lives and the race that God has set before us, what He wants us to accomplish, He truly is the only one that can define our success. It belongs to Him. He asks just a little bit of us, but in all reality, He does all the rest. He just asks for us to be faithful, trust Him, follow Him. We'll see that this morning. I want you to see where my help comes from, and I hope that we can see what His help really offers and what it really means. Psalm 121, verse 1, it says, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Father, I thank you again for this day that you've given to us, the wonderful privilege of being able to be here. God, with your people, with all who are able to be here today, God, we just so thankful to see them. We know we have several out and traveling and sickness and different things. God, we pray for them. That you give them traveling grace and health to get better, God. Just heal them and help them and comfort, Lord. You know every heart and every need. God, I pray that you help us today. Lord, I need your help every day as we go on this journey, this journey toward eternity, God. I just need your help more and more every day. Many different things that we face. We want to be a help to people. Want to be a good example to people, Lord, but always following you, never trusting in ourselves. Our confidence is in you. Our trust is in you. God, I pray for every heart here today. Lord, you know what they're facing. You know the help they need. God, I'm limited in what I can do. I want to be willing and help, but God, I know that you actually have the supply, God. You have what is needed. God, I pray for the music camp that's going on. I pray that you be with each one there, all the hard work and labor that's going on. God, I pray that you save somebody. Lord, I pray that the gospel just go forth in that camp and it just be displayed, God, just like never before. God, I pray you be with them. Be with us here this morning. We put our faith and our confidence in you, Lord, and all that's said and done. God, my heart, my mind, and my mouth, Lord, it's all for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We see here in verse number 1, I kind of like how this starts out. If you want to kind of roadmap our responsibilities versus his responsibilities, these verses really lay it out pretty simple. It starts out with here, I will. And I know Brother Raymond, he mentioned in his lesson this morning, watch out for those who say I a whole lot, which is very, very true. You hear I, they're trying to sell themselves. But thankfully here, the wonderful thing about this is there's a little bit of ownership in this person and what he's saying. You see the I one time, and then after that, I falls off the scene, and the Lord steps on the scene. You know, he looks for our responses and things that he wants to do in our life. He wants us to get out of the way, but I have to take accountability for myself. I have to take responsibility for me, and then I have to give it to him. And so if I can start out here this morning with you, it says, I will lift mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. You see, he's actually looking toward his help. See, the prize is where they're going, not where they are. In this current part of this degree, the degree of which they're climbing, that he understands and realizes that the prize is up there, the prize is not right here. And so I will lift up mine eyes to where I'm going, to where my prize is. When we get down and out here, the first thing we do is start looking down. We get down. Our countenance falls, and you can see it. You see it in our shoulders. You see it in our body language. Our heads are hanging down low, and we're looking down. Our help is not down here. Now, our help is not below us. Our help is not down. Our help is up there. If you're a child of God, that's where your help is. What you get your eyes fixated on is what you start to follow. I can't express that enough. I've seen that happen too many times. I guess in driving, if you're not careful, you're supposed to stay 10 and 2 and stay focused on where you're going. If you've ever started looking off to the left or to the right, you'll realize if you mean to or not, you'll start veering to the left or to the right. Even if you kind of got in your peripheral where you're going, you're not going to hit something. If you're not careful, you'll end up in the ditch. You'll just go that way. I don't know if I've used this analogy or this story here before, but I'll use it this morning because it came to mind. Remember when I was young and started driving, I grew up in Mountaindale. Our church was exactly a mile away from the house. So what I like to do after church is when Dad would let me drive to Monte Carlo home after church. I liked that. I thought I was big. I was learning how to drive and no worries out there in the country. And I'd go home and Preacher Bill, of course, Preacher Bill Hayden lives right across from the church. And he'd walk home, and I remember one time I was so proud and happy, and I was driving, and I saw him, and I was like, look at me so I can wave at you. He was walking away. I was like, just look at me so I can wave. See, I'm driving. I want you to see what I'm doing. Well, finally he did, and he kept pointing. I'm like, why is he not waving? Why is he doing this? Because I was doing this and head right toward his mailbox. He's like, whoa, I'm trying to help you here, you know? It all worked out, and I got lined back up, and everything was fine. But you know, where we look a lot of times is how we will respond to things in life. If you're a child of God, you need to be looking up. The Bible does teach us to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. We are closer now than we've ever been. It's right around the corner. One thing about the race is when you start getting closer to the finish line, we should be more encouraged, not discouraged. That means the race is about over. What we are giving is about over. What we have to extend is about over. You see, as they're climbing this mountain to go worship, to go to the temple and offer sacrifices or go to the feast, that was something to be excited about. He said, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. Verse number 2, it says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. Now, you think about who your help is. Think about who my help is. You know, we ask for help sometimes. Sometimes pride keeps us from asking for help. We're like, I don't want to bug anybody. I know people are so busy today, a lot of times they try to figure out ways of doing things themselves, not to bother other people, but it's still okay to ask for help.
I want to extend my help when I can. I believe that's the way that it's supposed to be. I believe that's a burden that the Lord has laid on my help, is to look for people to help and then help them. Help them prayerfully, spiritually, help them financially. I believe that's how we help people along this life. If somebody's hungry, we don't give them a stone. It's what the Bible says. We give them the help that they need. A lot of spiritual help is needed in this day and time. The word help, it's a pretty simple word. It means to aid, to assist, to lend strength or means towards effecting a purpose, to relieve. You know, that's what the Lord does for me. He aids me. He assists me. It's not the opposite way around. It's not that I am doing something for Him. It's not like He's relying on me. I'm relying on Him. We get that backwards so much. We think we do stuff for the Lord and like, well, how could He make it without me? I mean, that's how people can get. Boy, we get that backwards a whole lot. We can't do nothing without Him. He's our help. He's our aid. He assists us. And it's toward effecting a purpose. Let me tell you this. If there is one that wants to see you succeed, it's God. You ever think about that? You ever think about it that way? The one who created you, why would he not want the absolute best for you? Why would He not want His will to be displayed on you? Why would He not want to give you everything? You think about our help. Where our help comes from, the purpose. He's called us for a purpose. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. He's the one that created everything. We're not talking about a subpar means of help. We're talking about the one who created this whole thing. You see how the earth was created, everything, the minerals and everything, the resources that He's given to us. Again, I said science belongs to Him, and it does. He created it. It's His. He's the creator. You think about our lives. He created you and me. He knows every single thing about us. When we need help, there is none other better than to ask the Lord Jesus to help us. None. A lot of times He's the last resource we go to. Sadly, I believe that. I think we try to exhaust everything we can instead of just going straight to Him and trusting, Lord, I've got a big problem here. You know, there's no big problems with God. And there's no little ones. Let's just put it that way. If it hurts us, it affects Him. But God, the creator of everything, He can lay everything out in place. Why would you not go to Him? I think sometimes it's because we physically don't see Him. We look at what we can logically and physically see. But He's there. He's ever present. I feel Him in my heart. I feel Him when I feel Him when He's near. He's always near. I feel His presence in my life, and I need that. Why would we not go to Him first? That's where our help comes from. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created everything. He laid it all out there for us. We see that in His person. You're going to see some P's this morning. This first part is His person, the person of God, which made the heaven and the earth. We see here in verse number 3 and 4, I want us to see His protection. When I'm out and about day to day, and we're talking about traveling graces and things, I always want His protection. What a wonderful thing protection is. You don't ever want to leave the house without feeling protected. You want to have what, if you're going on a trip to the beach or whatever, you want sunscreen, you want a hat, you want to be protected from the sun. And if law enforcement, we wore our vests, we carried our weapons, you wanted to be protected. Who would want to go out into a war? Who would want to go out into a battle or a situation and not have protection? But if you wanted protection, would you not want the best protection that you could get? So I like that. I like knowing that the Lord can protect me, because if somebody was trying to plan something against me, did you know that He can fix that? You might not be able to. He can. He controls that. He controls everything. I mean, do we see that and do we understand that? Or do we understand the magnitude of what He can do for us? That's who my help is this morning. He says here, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. We see His protection. He'll not allow our foot to be moved or won't slip or fall. I put that in there for myself. You see, you go back and you look at Job and you look at his life. Boy, it looked like he fell all over the place. It looked like he failed his life. What happened to him? But when you step back and look at the big picture, I promise you, Job came out a winner. Job didn't lose. You know, there's legs of the race that we run. And I'm thinking about this trip as they're traveling, this journey as they're traveling up the mountain, wearing sandals, maybe even barefoot half the time. You know, they probably stepped on a lot of rocks. They probably had to stop there just every now and then, just say, man, I got to take a break. This hurts. I need to slow down just a little bit. But that doesn't mean that they quit. The journey was still in front of them. You know, that's what this life is like. We're traveling upwards. We're heading upwards. If you're saved here this morning, that's what we're doing. We're traveling up. What couldn't be a better illustration for us? We're traveling through. We got somewhere to go and somewhere to be. And the Bible's saying here, He'll not cause our foot to stumble. I like that. That means I can keep moving forward for the glory of God. That means you can too. We don't have to stop. It gets discouraging when you think about it. You think, I've messed up here, I've messed up there. I can't be a help, I can't be a blessing, I can't do. But God says right here in His Word, I will allow you to keep moving forward if you will. So that's up to you and me. I don't think we should fall out of this race. I don't think we should take any steps backwards. And what we see here, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will not slumber nor sleep. You remember the prophets of Baal? Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? We sung a double portion this morning. One of my favorite accounts in the Bible is when they had the altar. They was going to burn that altar up. And they were just putting it out there. Elijah really laid it on them. He said, prophets of Baal, now you pray. We'll see. Let's have a contest. Let's see whose God is the real God. So you pray to your gods. I'll let you go first. I'll let you go first. That's the gentleman thing to do. And you pray for your gods to send down fire and burn up this altar. And whosoever God can do that, he will be the God. He'll be the one that we all worship. Is that a deal? And they said, yes. Well, the prophets of Baal, they went out there. I can't remember how many. It was a show. They went out there and they started jumping around and praying and praying. And guess what happened? Nothing. Not a thing. You know, if you pray to nothing, you're going to get nothing in return. There's only one God. There's only one. And He's still alive. He lives. He lives forevermore. There's only one. So the prophets of Baal, they're out there jumping around. They start screaming, cutting themselves, crying, bleeding all over the place. You know, Elijah said, keep trying. Maybe you need to cry a little louder. Maybe he's asleep. Isn't that something? Maybe he's asleep. Maybe you need to wake him up. You know what this says right here? He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Slumber is light sleep. Jesus, God, He doesn't sleep. He's always awake. He's always aware of what you and I are doing. Now, I want you to think about that. I can feel very insignificant about things in my life. I had a friend one time, we were talking, and he was talking about all creation, and this is back when he was in college, and we just had one of those in-depth conversations, you know, and he's talking about how big the universe was and how they're finding out more galaxies and microscopes, periscopes, everything, that they're looking out and seeing more and more and more, and just how expansive it is. And he come all the way down to Earth, and he said, yeah, you look at Earth, and you get all the way down just to you. And he said, do you believe, why? Why would God care about you? Just that little small speck of nothing in the whole galaxy. And I just looked at him, I said, I don't know why, but He does. I can't give you an answer, but He does. He does care. He does see that. He sees what we do. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He always knows what you're up to. And He cares about what you're doing. He wants to help you. He wants to extend His help. He's got a plan for you. He's the one, the author again, the author and finisher of our faith. He is mapping out this road for you. He's the one that wants to help you get there. He wants to see you get there in one piece. You got to follow Him. It takes that faith. It takes that trust. I can't tell you how many times I see this nice path and I want to take this easy path. And God says, we're not going that way. That ever happened to you? Let's talk about Joseph. You ever really think about Joseph's life? From the pit to the palace, I think they've kind of used that. Sister Kim, I really don't think that Joseph had anything to do mapping out that tour. I really don't. I don't believe that. If it was me, I would have had a straight shot, a straight line, and I'd make it as simple as possible. And I would probably want to go somewhere nice to eat and see the sights on the way. Not end up in a pit. Not end up in prison. Not end up with hardships and things in our lives. But you see, that's the way life's are. Life is. We don't understand that. I have learned probably more from my hardships in life than I have from my easy times in life. They've left a larger mark on my life and my faith with God. When you and I can't see a way, and we have to trust Him, He makes a way. That's how He makes Himself known to us. That's how He shows Himself to us. See, you thought there was no way through here, but guess what? I made you a way. That's me manifesting myself to you. That's me showing you that you can trust me. We see His protection. Verses 5 and 6 here, I want us to see this here. You see the word keeper a whole lot. He's my protection, but did you know He's also, I'm His possession? I'm His possession. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord is my keeper. Now, I want you to think about that. Say that to yourself. The Lord is my keeper, not you. The Lord is thy keeper. That's the one who holds or has possession of anything. He's the one that oversees the care of anything. When you think about how important that is, when we realize if you are born again and you've accepted God, you are bought with a price. He shed His blood to die for you and I, that we would have an option, a choice to go to heaven or not. We could choose Him. And if you chose Him, you know what? You become His possession. He owns you. He has you. If He left 99 to find the one, I know He knows where you're at this morning. I know He knows what you're facing this morning. I am His possession. You know how valuable that is? The one who created all heaven and all earth, I belong to Him. That's my helper. That's where my help comes along. You know, when I'm facing discouragement, when I'm facing hard times and I'm trying, Lord, I'm trying to follow You here. I'm trying to go with You. I'm not trying to be rebellious or anything like that. But Lord, I'm having a hard time seeing. Lord, help me. You know what He does? I thought about this, Brother Nathan. You know what He does? He says, "You're my possession." Amen. He says, "You stay right here and you stay right here. I will go with you and I will protect you. You belong to me. You are forever more secure. If you will just follow me, I promise you, you will like the path better. You will like better what I have for you than what you would have for yourself." He says, "You are my possession. You belong to me." You know how precious that is this morning? I don't hear any shouting. I mean, come on. You know how important that is? You want to belong to the devil? You want to belong to this world? You want to belong to him? Do you have it in here? Well, I tell you, it does something for me. I don't have to stay here. I get to go. Why? Because I belong to Him. I can't get there on my own. I need some help. He's my help. I'm His possession. I belong to Him this morning. And again, you see His protection. It says, "The sun shall not smite thee by day or the moon by night." He has our covered. I like what it says here. It's talking about the right hand. And how He'll preserve the right hand there in verse number 5. The Lord is the keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Right hand, if you look at it, it's mentioned some 132 times in the Bible. But it references goodness and honor and service and power. The work that we do for the Lord, He is protecting. Think about our missionaries. You know, I'm here at home trying to work for the Lord at home. Think about the missionaries. They're overseas somewhere in a place that they've never been. trying to learn things, learn the language, learn the traditions, the cultures, and do all those things. The service that they're trying to do for him to get lost souls into heaven. Don't you think they face some discouragement sometime? Well, I guarantee they do. I know as thankful as they are for our financial help, I know that they need and desire our prayers, the spiritual help. That their hands not be removed, that the strength that they have or what the Lord has for them, that will take care of them and protect them. I'll close here with this here. Lastly, verses 7 and 8. His preservation. His preservation. I love how it starts out again. It says, I will in verse number 1. Then after that, it's he will. He will. He will. Verse number 7, it said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He shall preserve thee. That means to keep or save from energy or from injury, to uphold, to sustain, to keep or defend from corruption. You know, it's difficult sometimes. You see the way the world's going. And you're trying to stand on the truth. You're trying to follow him. But you know, the world, the opposition is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And you and I are getting less popular by the minute. Really are. You can see that cancel culture and things. If you try to stand up against the narrative, watch out. They'll try to come after you. They don't like that. Do you know what? I like what it says right here, and this means something to me. I'll tell you, it means something to me as a preacher. You can look at it many different ways. Teachers, preachers, I'll tell you, you'll get the opportunity as a Christian to either deny him or stand up for him. Peter had that opportunity. We boast what we will or what we won't do, but in the heat of battle, I tell you, that's when it comes down to it. But I see some encouragement here for preservation that he will keep us. When you're standing on the Word of God and standing for truth, and even in the spite of what the world thinks, you know what God says? I'll defend you. I will preserve you. Say, preacher, I just don't even want to take the risk. I just don't even want to take the risk. I'll just kind of be willfully ignorant and kind of float through it, not make anybody mad. Boy, I'd hate to make somebody mad. I'd hate to offend somebody. I'd hate for somebody's feelings to get hurt. I told Brandy yesterday, I'm not trying to pick fights with people, but it's sickening how the world has become. It's sickening. You know, my doctor, if they care about me or not, can say, okay, this is the route that you're taking. I can do your blood work. I can look through all your scans. I can do these things. And based off of the evidence of what I have for you, if you don't change this, physically you're going to be in trouble. And I can do one of two things. I can accept that or I can deny that. Or I can be mad at my doctor and say, that's hate speech. I can't believe you're telling me that. How can you tell me that and hurt my feelings? But just simply because it's the truth, it's no different as a preacher in this day and time. People get so mad, they get so offended just by telling them the truth. You're trying to hurt my feelings. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I want to see you get right. I want to see you get help. I can't help you if you're not willing to take the help. God can't help you if you're not willing to accept what he's given. That's where the world is falling apart. You see that part of it there, turning the truths into lies. But you see, I love what it says here. It said, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. As they were traveling, the Israelites, as they would go in and out, as they would go year by year to make this journey, travel up this mountain and go in and go to the feast, he said, I will hold your foot, I will preserve you forevermore. See, Israel's the apple of his eye. He's always got his eye on Israel. And if you're a born-again child of God, he's always got his eyes on you. That's my help this morning. That's your help this morning. He's asking us here, it says, I will, if you go back to the beginning, I will lift up mine eyes. You're seeing what the psalmist says here. I will lift up my eyes. That's saying, I'll lift up and I'll look into you, Lord. I'll put my trust in you where I'm going. And you know what he says? I'll take care of the rest. That's what my help can offer this morning. If you will, stand with me. Appreciate your wonderful attention. I'll ask Sister Alice to come.